Thank you so much for joining us on the River City Church podcast. If you're blessed by this message today, we would love to hear from you. Check out our website at rivercitychurch.cc and let us know what God is doing in your life. If you would like to support this ministry financially, click the giving link on our website and choose the best option for you. Thank you again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message.
That's it. Let's jump in here. Turn with me to Mark chapter 1. Oh, I wanted to say this. We're so excited on the Amarillo campus about our future together with these two congregations, these two campuses. Pastor Brian's vision to see 100 lighthouses, 100 gospel centers, 100 campuses together. We're going to do it over the next few years, and we're going to let the world and our nation know that Jesus loves them and he wants to change their lives. Amen. Praise God. Pastors Brian and Jesse are in Amarillo this morning, and I'm here, and this is going to be fun, and we're just excited about it in Amarillo. Hope you're excited about it too. Good things are in store. The best is yet to come. Amen? Now, I want to share a very simple word this morning, but I believe the simplest truths are the most powerful truths in the Scripture. And I believe that this has been skipped over. It's been missed by some of us, and missed by theologians and pastors and teachers in the Christian faith as well. Many people pride themselves as being preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and yet I see many people fail to preach the gospel that Jesus himself preached. So I'd like to bring us back to square one, bring us back to some basics today. And what I want to talk to you about is the gospel Jesus preached, the gospel that Jesus himself preached. Is that okay with you? And to get some context, we're going to go to the very first verse of chapter 1 of Mark, because it talks about this as the beginning of the gospel. We're going to talk about the very first sermon that Jesus ever preached, the very first words that he came to say to the human race. And then we're going to turn in a little bit to the last chapter of Mark as he commissions us to take our message to the world for him and in his name, and connect the two, and it'll help us to have an overview and a foundational understanding of what our message is and what God wants us to know. What this loving, gracious, merciful, compassionate God wants to share with your heart and with mine and fill our minds with, so that we can properly inform the world around us. Does that sound like that's important? I think it is. Let's look at chapter 1 of Mark and verse 1. The beginning, everybody say beginning, of the gospel, everybody say the gospel, of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The word gospel means good news. So he's talking about the beginning of this good news of Jesus, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John did baptize. We know this man is John the Baptist, or John the Baptizer. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission, forgiveness of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea, and they of Jerusalem, and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. John was clothed with camel's hair, girdle of skin about his loins, and he ate locusts and wild honey, and preached, saying, there comes one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now verse 14, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching. Jesus came into Galilee announcing. The word preach means to announce. Announcing the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God. Notice what Jesus was announcing, the good news of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, I read all of that passage, a little bit of a lengthy passage to help you to understand the context of Jesus' words. We see that Jesus has just come on the scene, that he's at the very beginning of his earthly ministry. And what we just read was the very first sermon that he preached, the very first teaching that he taught, the very first words he expressed, the very first truths that he communicated to the human race. He called his message the good news of the kingdom of God. And we're going to try to help define that for you this morning, the good news of the kingdom of God. But I want to remind you of why Jesus came. Jesus came to fix us. Jesus came to help us. Jesus came to strengthen us. Jesus came to save us. Jesus came to heal us. Jesus came to adjust us. Jesus came to transform us. Jesus came to inform us. Jesus came to do a work on us and within us that would change us forever. How many of you understand that when Jesus came to this earth, the world has never been the same again? The world had new information. The world had a new revelation. The world had a new experience available to anyone and everyone who would believe what Jesus said. Now, the reason that what he said was so important is because we here in the world had a problem, a very huge problem. And guess what? We tried, but we really couldn't blame it on anybody else. Our problem was us. Look at your neighbor and say, it was you too. Yeah, it was you too. The problem is us. You can look around for someone to blame, but the problem is us. We have all sinned and fallen short of the level, the glory, the standard, the acceptance, the approval of God. We have sinned. We had this problem called sin. We had this problem called rebellion. We had this problem called just us being us and doing what we wanted to do. Now, Isaiah the prophet helps us to understand in a very specific manner exactly what our problem was. And I want you to turn to some of his words, Isaiah chapter 59, beginning with verse 1. This is very important to understand. Isaiah 59, verse 1. Here's what Isaiah said. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy or dull of hearing or deaf that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your perversities, have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Now, I was reading this here a while back, and I began to notice in verse 2 that he said, your sins have hid his face from you. It didn't say that your sins have hid your face from him. It said your sins have hid his face from you. In other words, the lack of sight was not his, it was ours. As I began to study this, I began to see he's saying that we're the ones with the problem. He doesn't have a problem. Hello, God does not have a problem. God doesn't have a deficiency. God does not have a deficit. God doesn't have any evil in him, any compromise in him. In him, there is no darkness at all, the Apostle John said in 1 John chapter 1. I began to think about this, and new light began to come into my heart. I think this is interesting. Go back to verse 1 again before I continue. Behold, look, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. There's no inability with him. He's not crippled. He's not handicapped. His hand is not shortened. Neither is his ear heavy or burdensome or hard of hearing. It literally means hard of hearing. He's not deaf. He doesn't have a hearing problem so that he cannot hear. Verse 2, but no, it's your problem. Isaiah speaking to the human race. God doesn't have a problem. His hand is not short. His ear is not deaf. He has ability. He can hear. No, he says, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Guess who got separated? You got separated from your God. God didn't separate from you. You separated from him. Your sins, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue has muttered perversities. Wow. I was reading that and I began to think, you know, God doesn't have a problem. We do. We're the ones with the problem. Now, we already knew that, but it's amazing what you can learn and what the Lord can show you if you'll just settle on a truth and begin to meditate on it for a moment, or maybe many moments. So I began to think about that. God didn't have a problem. I was the one with the problem. Okay, well, I knew that, but what's he getting at? I began to think about Adam. You know, our trouble started with great, 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 great grandfather Adam. He sinned and got us in this mess. How many of you know it was Adam, right? And you say, well, that's not fair. Well, no, it's not fair. It's family. How many of you know when your family messes up, we all live it with them? Praise the Lord. It's not fair. It's family. So we're all part of the Adamic family. And great, 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 great grandpa messed up. He sinned. He rebelled. He disobeyed. Right? I got to thinking about Grandpa Adam. And I began to think about the fact that God didn't leave Adam. Adam left God. God didn't leave the garden. Adam had to leave the garden. Wow. God did not separate from Adam. Adam separated from God. God had no problem. Adam had a big one. You see, somewhere on the inside of the human heart, we sense this separation, this disconnection from all that is good and all that is holy and all that is heaven and all that is God. We have a knowing down in our knower. We have an understanding. We have a sense of the fact that we're somehow lost in space. We're somehow, you know, somehow separated from some connection that we should have. And that connection is that connection with our Creator, that connection with God. And sometimes we try to make excuse and try to blame God. Even some theologies blame God with everything. But the fact is, we have no one to blame but ourselves, the human family. We are the ones that left God. And then we've been taught many times from the pulpits of America, we've been taught that here we are, we're sinners. And I'm sorry, God is so holy, he can have nothing to do with a sinner. You're dirty, he's clean, he rejects you. He can have nothing to do with you. He cannot dwell with sin. He will not connect with you. And we've made that like an attitudinal problem with God, and that's not what the Bible teaches. No, don't you remember when Adam sinned? It was God coming and looking for Adam. Adam wasn't even pretending to be looking for God. The trouble is not that this holy God cannot connect with the wickedness of our sin. The problem is us wicked sinners cannot take the heat of his holiness. It's not that God can't connect with you. It's that you can't connect with God. God did not walk away. We walked away. So much of what you hear today taught puts blame on God. So much of the unbelief in the world is attached to blame toward God. And I'm telling you that God is holy and God is love and that God is righteous altogether and that God is full of compassion and he has great mercy and he's rich in mercy according to the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. And God is not the problem. God does not have a problem. It's you and I that are problematic. It's you and I that need fixing. It's you and I that need saving. Somebody shout amen. Come on, we're the ones with the problem. And so then Jesus comes along. Do you know who Jesus is? Absolute God in the flesh. He is God. He is the express image of God. He is God in flesh. He is the Word of God. That means He is the message of God. That means that Jesus is what God has to say to the human race. If you're looking for God to come along with steam coming out of His nostrils and fiery wrath to consume you at the first moment He can catch you, you need to think again. That is not His attitude toward you. What He wants to say to you is, Jesus, I've sent Jesus to come get you. Come on, somebody. How many of you ever got picked up by a friend and taken somewhere nice? You ever, go out to eat, go to the restaurant, go to the theater, go on a date. Somebody, they came and got, Jesus, can I tell you something? Jesus came to get us. Come on, somebody. Praise the Lord. He came to give us a ride. He came to give us a lift. He came to give us a gift. He came to make a difference in our lives. He didn't, listen, you see, God had those stinking Pharisees and Sadducees messing up the message. The Pharisees were so strict and so legalistic and so rule-bound, and you got to do it like this and just like that, and if you don't, you're going to hell. You're just going to hell. And God's mad at you. The Sadducees didn't believe much of nothing at all. They didn't believe in angels, didn't believe in demons, didn't believe in spirits, and didn't believe in miracles, and they didn't believe in life after death. It makes you wonder why they went to church at all. And those were his two main denominations in Judaism. And so God says, man, I'm not putting up with this anymore. I need to send somebody to get it all straight. Jesus, go. And Jesus comes to the message of God. And he says what we just read in Mark chapter 1. The Son of God, God in the flesh, what God has to say, shows up on planet Earth, reaches the age of 30, is released and anointed by the Holy Spirit to begin his ministry. And he starts out by saying, I've come to announce good news. Somebody shout good news. Good news. Oh, yeah, that's it. I want to be a good news preacher. I don't want to be a bad news preacher. I want to leave somebody better, not bitter, after I get through. Amen, somebody? Come on, let's shout out for the good news. We want good news, right? So what's good and what's new about the good news? God is good, and he wants to make your and my life brand new. That's what the good news is all about. God wants to fix us, heal us, save us, forgive us, deliver us, help us, strengthen us, give us mercy, give us grace, give us compassion. God does not take delight in the death of the wicked. He delights in mercy. That's what the Old Testament prophet said. Even in the Old Testament, a true prophet of God knew that God is full of mercy. Jesus comes to the planet Earth. He says, I got good news. I'm preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. What is the good news of the kingdom of God? You have to understand kingdom. We don't understand kingdom. We understand democracies. That really goofs us up in kingdom living. Churches think they've got a vote. You don't have a vote. You don't have the right to vote. You have the right to obey God. We want to elect everybody. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, is never up for re-election. He is King forever. Don't even think about changing that. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he is King. And he came to share with us the wonderful grace, the wonderful gifts, the wonderful benefits of being in God's kingdom. He came announcing the good news of the kingdom of God. Now, you got to understand what kingdom is. There's three words given in Strong's Concordance that define the Greek word translated kingdom. They are the words, number one, rule. Everybody say rule. Number two, royalty. Number three, realm. Let me share what it's all about. He says, I'm going to give you the good news of God's rule, God's royalty, and God's realm. Number one, God's rule. Got good news, Jesus said. God can rule in your life. Well, I'm not sure I like that. Oh, you need to like it, because when we rule our lives, we goof it up. Come on, somebody. How many of you figured out, I'm my own worst enemy. When I whew, when I make my choices and hang with my crowd and do what I want to do, it doesn't work out. It gets sticky. It gets bad. It goes from bad to worse, and then it gets worser. Yeah? God said, Jesus said, I got good news. God can guide you. God can help you. God can bring his blessing and grace and miraculous into your life so that you don't have to live life alone. You don't have to be left to your own devices. You don't have to be lonely. You don't have to be lonesome. And you don't have to be defeated in life. And you don't have to just fall and fail into self-destruction. No, I can give you something worth living for. I can give you a focus. I can give you a purpose in life. That's why people fail, lack of purpose. He says, God wants to guide your life. That's the rule of God. Number two is royalty. Folks, here we were, children of darkness, children of the devil, the Bible calls us, sinners, wicked, lascivious, sin-filled. And Jesus comes along and says, hey, it doesn't have to be like that. You can be reconnected. See, we were disconnected. You can be reconnected with the royal family. God is a king over all the earth. You can be his child. That means you can be a part of the royal family. A few weeks ago, we thrilled at the thought of this interracial American girl becoming royalty. Little Meghan Markle, actress, goes to England, marries Harry, and now she's the Duchess of Sussex. An American is British royalty, and you ladies, you just revel in that. Oh, that's awesome, man. She's so pretty. Yeah, it's awesome. Folks, there's something better than that. There's something better than that. You and I have become part of the royal family. We are sons and daughters of God, and we share in royalty and blue blood. The blue blood of the royalty of heaven courses through our veins. Give the Lord a hand clap. Even a Louisville fan can say thank God for that. When you're born again, you're born into the family of God. You become royalty. You become a king's kid. Come on, you're a prince or a princess in God. You're somebody, not a nobody anymore. Thirdly, though, it's rule, it's royalty, it's realm. Jesus said, I've come to share the good news that God's realm can consume you. God's realm can cover you. God's realm can come to you. God's sphere, God's world, God's presence, God's grace, God's greatness, God's power, God's love, God's energy, God's strength, God's blessing. Basically, the kingdom of God being the realm of God. See, we've been living in the realm of the world. But the realm of God means anything that's God, all the goodness of God, all of the godness of God, all of the holiness of God, all of the power of God, all of the promises of God, all that's God, all that God is, all that God can do, anything and everything that God wants to do in you, that God wants to do to you, that God wants to do for you, or that God wants to do through you is included in the kingdom of God. Jesus said, wow, the possibilities are endless. You've just stepped into a world that's a million miles high and a million miles long and a million miles wide. You can now be caught up in the realm of God. The kingdom of God is within you. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. That's a pretty amazing thing. He's saying to us that anything God is, anything God can do, anything we need out of God has come near to us. He brought it. He brought God's light. He brought God's truth. He brought God's love. He brought everything that is God's. And he comes and dwells among us. Watch it. We didn't feel after God too much. We didn't seek after God too much. If you tried to jump high enough, you'd have never made it to heaven. But God came to earth. And he brought good news. And then we find how Jesus verbalized it. Verse 15. Look at it one more time. Verse 15. In Mark, the first chapter. He says, he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and he said, and then he preaches a simple four-point message. Number one, he said, the time is fulfilled. We need to say this like Jesus said it. The time is fulfilled. What did he mean by that? The time is fulfilled. The time is filled full. Well, for hundreds of years, the Jewish people have been looking for their Redeemer, looking for their prophet after the similitude of Moses. They've been looking for their Savior. They've been looking for their prophet. They've been looking for the branch. They've been looking for Shiloh. They've been looking for everything that the prophets had prophesied, looking for that one that would come. They've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Every Jewish mother about to give birth hoped and prayed that her offspring would be the Messiah. And they've been waiting, and they've been waiting, and they've been waiting, and they've been waiting. Just like some of us are waiting on God, waiting on God, waiting on God. And it's confusion, because you know why? Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to Galilee, and he said, the time is fulfilled. That means the time is filled full. That means the time is now. That means waiting is over. Everybody say, the time is now. Come on, say it again. The time is now. The time is now. See, God is. He says, I am. He didn't say, I was or I'm going to be. God is in the now. Jesus had come now. Jesus was in their midst right now. They've been longing after God. God had come to them now. Folks, everything changed when Jesus came to this planet. Now God is here. Amen? Everybody say, the time is now. If you're saying, well, I'm going to get saved someday. No, today, right now is the time of salvation. If you're ever going to find God, you got to find him now. If you go back to where he was, he's not there anymore. And if you try to go to the future, I'm sorry, you're going to miss him there. Only God can only be found right now. So the first point in Jesus' message is the time is now. Say it with me, the time is now. Point number two, he said the kingdom is at hand. What does it mean at hand? Well, my Bible's at hand. What does that mean? It's within my reach. Anytime I want to, I can reach out and take hold of my Bible. I can read my Bible. I can study my Bible. I can teach my Bible. I can preach from the Bible. It's at hand. It's within my reach. My sweet wife, Carrie, I like her to be at hand constantly. If she's in the kitchen, I go hang out in the kitchen. If she's in the living room, I go hang out in the living room. If she goes to the bathroom, sometimes I follow her right in the bathroom. Why? I want her to be at hand. I want to be around her. I want her to be close by. I want her to be within my reach. I want anytime I want a hug or a kiss, I want her right there. I want to be able to do it right there, right now. Jesus said, the time is now, and God's kingdom, God's grace, God's power, God's love, God's provision, God's healing, God's forgiveness, God's mercy, God's compassion, God's goodness and God's godness, all of everything that he is, everything that he offers, everything you can have from him, it is within your reach. You can reach out and take hold of God anytime you want, and it's available right now. Anytime you want to. You can reach out by faith and you can take hold of God and pull him into your life. He's there waiting for you. He doesn't have a problem. His hand is not short that he cannot save you. His ear is not deaf that he won't hear you. No, he's ready. He's on the spot. He has come. He's waiting on you and I to do number 3 and 4. Because if God is right now and he's available to me, how do I get him? Number 3, Jesus said, repent, which essentially means change your thinking. Stop thinking he's a million miles away. Stop thinking that he's unavailable. Stop thinking that he's avoiding you. Stop thinking that he's being mean to you. Stop thinking that he leaves you out. Stop thinking that you're not one of the chosen. Stop thinking like that. Stop thinking that he's so mad with you, he would never do anything for you. Stop that. Stop thinking if you ever went to church that the roof would cave in. We got sinners here every weekend. It has never caved in yet. You're going to be okay. Come on, somebody. Stop thinking like that. Stop thinking that God hates you. Stop thinking that God dislikes you. Stop thinking that he is ignoring you. Stop thinking that you can't reach him. No, you need to change your thinking. How do I need to think? Number 4, Jesus said, here's the way you need to think. Believe the good news that God right now can be had by you. All you got to do is reach out and take him. Right now he's available. Well, he's invisible. That don't mean he's not available. Trust him. He's right there coming for you. You're the one running away from an encounter. It isn't God. God is available. to every single one of us, available to touch us, available to change us, available to help us, available to forgive us. He's made himself available. How do I know that? Well, I'll tell you how. He got in a body, came right down to earth, and came into Galilee and said, hey, you've been waiting on me? Waiting is over. Here I am. And then he went to the cross and died and was buried and rose again on the third day to effect it in our lives by his precious blood. And then he was raised from the dead and seen of Peter and Cephas and James and John and over 500 people at once, because the gospel is not just the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's the death, burial, resurrection, and manifestation of Jesus. And that's what he wants to do right now for us. Right now, 2018, is manifest himself in our life. He's available to you. He's within your reach. All you got to do is reach out with your heart and your faith, take him and say, I'm ready to walk with you, and he will walk with you. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap today. And I told you we'd go to Mark 16. They can put it on the screen. I'll just quote it without turning there. At the end of the, this was the beginning of the God. This is the first thing Jesus said. So important. And then, at the end of Mark 16, he tells us to go out and tell the world the same information. In fact, you remember in Matthew, Jesus said, he said, listen, I'm going to tell you something. This gospel, there's only one, by the way. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then and only then shall the end come. And in Mark 16, he said, go ye therefore into all the world. Go preach to everybody. Matthew said, in all the nations. Mark says, go and preach the gospel to every creation. He that believes and is baptized, he that believes the good news and acts upon it and begins to walk in it, begins to reach out and take hold of God, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. What does that mean? We're savable. He that believes not will be condemned. In other words, unsavable. How do we get unsavable? Only by not believing. Not believing what? The gospel of the kingdom. It's when we stop believing that God's available to us that life goes downhill. Jesus brought God to us. He says, hey, there's some other things that'll happen. In my name, they're going to cast out demons. That means human beings are deliverable. They're liberatable. He says, not only are you going to cast out demons, but they're going to speak in new tongues. That means human beings are fillable with the Holy Spirit. He said, you're going to take up serpents, in the Greek, take them and throw them aside. And if they drink it, it's a deadly thing, it'll not hurt them. That means we're protectable. He said, and you're going to lay hands on the sick when you preach this message, and they're going to recover. He says, the world is healable. Do you get what he's saying? He's telling us to tell the world the same thing he told them in Galilee. The waiting is over. The time is now. God is available. Reach out and take hold of him. You are helpable, savable, redeemable, blessable. You are findable. You are savable. You are liberatable. Everything, all things are possible. If you'll only believe the good news. Wow. That's the message that transforms lives. That's the love that turns lives around. Not that God's mad at you, but God has put aside all of your misdoings and said, I love you anyway, and I've come to get you. Come on, get in the car. We're gone. We're going somewhere. Amen, somebody? Hey, yeah, no matter who you are, what you've done, what you haven't done, I'm telling you, the time is now in our lives, and God is available to us. All we have to do is think differently and reach out and take him. I was preaching along these lines in a crusade I did down in Latin America. And I'm reminded of this. But I didn't preach this exact message, but it was similar. And we had about 3,000 people in a gymnasium. And I gave an altar call, and some folks came to receive Jesus as their Savior. And we prayed the prayer and received Jesus. And you know, they were all happy, you know. They were, some of them crying, some of them smiling. But this one guy, man, he was just overjoyed. I mean, he was so wonderfully filled with joy and glee and delight that he just couldn't help himself. He started jumping up and down and walking around, and he couldn't stand still. And I thought, well, that guy, he's happy. He's got him a good dose, you know. And so, I mean, he wouldn't simmer down. You know, we were trying to move on the service, but this guy was jumping around. All eyes were glued to him because he's jumping around and dancing. You know, he was doing all the thing automatically we try to get everybody to do every week that never goes over, you know. He's just doing it all on his own. And finally, I said, hey, what's going on? How come you're so happy? I thought he'd say, well, I'm just glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm forgiven. I thought this is going to be a good testimony. He says, my leg is healed. I didn't expect that. I said, well, what? He said, my leg is healed. I said, really? You know, we prayed for salvation and God saved him and healed him. I thought, that's tremendous. I said, what's wrong with your leg? He says, it's broken in four places. I said, what? Four places, yeah. And I noticed that when he jumped around, this leg was stiff. And I reached out and touched his pants, and I felt something hard and clunky. And I found out he had a cast from his hip to his ankle. I go, well, your leg really is broken. He said, no, it's not anymore. It's okay. No pain. He's walking around with a stiff leg, man, just like this. He was hitting it, you know. It's all good. It's all good, Pastor. I said, okay, all right. And I said, I tell you what, can you go to the doctor tomorrow and let him examine you, and you get him to let us know if it's healed? Well, okay. I said, if it's okay, if it's healed, if you've been healed from those four breaks, then would you bring the cast back to me? We get them to bring their crutches and canes and stuff. We call them God's trophies. I got a pile of them at my church for people that got healed. And how many of you know it's a wonderful witness to the world when God heals somebody? Yeah, that means God's real, God's here, God's now. Come on, we can reach out and get hold of God. And I said, you come back tomorrow night and bring me your cast. I kind of forgot about it. So the next night, we're singing and we're in the service, and all of a sudden I look back at the back door, the double doors of the gymnasium, and here comes Manuel. That was his name, Manuel. Manuel comes in. He has that cast. He's got it over his head. It's all cut in pieces, and he's waving it over, and plaster of Paris dust is flying everywhere. And he comes in waving it in the air, and when he came down the middle aisle, everybody starts cheering for him, and he comes right up to the platform, and we brought him up on the platform. Now the cast is off. He's got full mobility. He's walking back and forth. We're waving that cast. Everybody's cheering. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. It's a great miracle. Manuel got saved and healed, and it was awesome. It was electric. We had so many miracles that night. Man, I tell you what. One woman named Veronica had a volleyball-sized tumor in her stomach melted with the fire of God, just like that. She came up and gave her testimony. Another 26-year-old woman, a deaf mute from birth, both heard and spoke in that service that night after Manuel demonstrated his healing. It was amazing. Faith is contagious. That's why you ought to go out there and tell somebody about yours. After the service, the missionaries came to me. They said, Pastor David, we need to ask you for a favor. I said, okay. We need to ask you. Listen, you've had Manuel up there two nights watching across the stage. Please don't have him come up here tomorrow night. I said, why not? They said, the pastors don't want Manuel up there tomorrow night. I said, why not? Well, because nobody likes Manuel. I said, why not? Everybody hates Manuel. Everybody in town hates him. I thought, well, they're cheering when he got hit. I thought, I couldn't understand. They said, no, please don't take him up there. Why? Well, Manuel is a famous, this is the way they said it, this is the way it was translated to me. He's a famous, in other words, everybody knows about him, a famous molester of women. He's a rapist. He molests women. I'm thinking, why are they letting him run around free? I don't get it. But they said, no, don't do it, please. It's not helping us. Don't want him up on the stage. Everybody hates him. Please, don't do it. So, man, I'm concerned. I think, oh, my Lord, well, sure. No, I won't bring him up again. I wouldn't want anybody to think that I would approve of such a man. Oh, it's horrible. No, we don't want Manuel. It is all settled. No more Manuel. I got back to my hotel room, and I laid down, and the Lord spoke to me. You know what he said? I love the Lord. He's so simple and powerful with what he says. He gave me a three-point sermon in my hotel room that night. Here's the 3 points. He said, son, I healed Manuel. I saved Manuel. I love Manuel. Man, that's where God is on our lives. It's us that are keeping score, not God. It's us that are perverse. It's us that are nitpicky. We're the Pharisees and we're the Sadducees. I'm going to tell you, Jesus comes to give us good news. He wipes all that away and says, hey, God loves you. God's for you. God has come to you right now just because he loves you. And he's available to you. He may be invisible, but he's available anytime you want. You can reach out. You can take hold of him. You can pull him into your life. Somebody thank God today. You can have it. You can do it. Let's all stand up. Let's all stand up, please. Bow your heads. Maybe you're here this morning. You'd say, Pastor David, I've never taken hold of Jesus and pulled him into my heart. Not really. Oh, you might have prayed the prayer. You might have been baptized. Maybe as an adult, maybe as an infant. I don't know. Maybe you've joined the church. But you can join every church, be baptized in every baptistry until you're soaked and waterlogged and all of that. You're not connected to God until you change your thinking and believe the good news that because Jesus died for you, that God's available to you right now, forgiving you, helping you, fixing you, beginning to heal your life. And all he asks is that we change our thinking. Stop thinking that sin is the way to live. It's not. It destroys you. Stop thinking that you can make it on your own. You're not going to. You need God. Stop thinking that God's so mad at you, he'll never forgive you. That's not true. He's full of compassion and of great mercy. We need to drop all that thinking and think like Jesus told us to think right now. God is available to me. Right now, he will forgive me. Right now, he'll start fixing me. Right now, he'll heal me. Right now, he will cover me with his presence, his grace, his sphere, his kingdom. Right now, he'll begin to bless me. If you need to give your heart and life to him, let's reach out and pull him into your heart right now. Come on, pray this prayer with me. Believers, let's all pray it with him right out loud. Lord Jesus, thank you for being God to me, for being the Word of God, the message of God, the Savior and the Son of God. I believe in you. I believe you died for me. You made God available for me. You made forgiveness available for me. Forgive my sins. Wash them away in your blood. I give my life to you. I change my thinking. I pull you into my life. God, I'm getting you today, and you're getting me, and I'm going to walk with you for the rest of my days. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Jesus, I make you my Lord and Savior. From this day forward, you are my Lord, and I am your follower. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Thank you, Lord. One more prayer. Would you take hold of each other's hands, please? I want to pray a separate prayer just for a second. If you just prayed that last prayer with me, Pastor Patrick will share with you how to connect with us so we can help you as a church. The church is here to help people, not just preach at people. We're here to help you be a part of your lives. We want to help you with your walk with God. We want to help you get this blessing going full strength. So please do what Patrick says if you just prayed that prayer with me. He'll be here in just a moment. Holding hands. Everybody touching somebody's hand? Jesus said believers will lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Now there's people touching you right now. They're laying their hands on you. One of them's got to be saved. One of them's got to be a believer, okay? One of them is touching you as a believer. And the Holy Spirit is in that believer, and the Holy Spirit will flow right through their hand, right into your body, and heal you if you'll just reach out right now and believe that Jesus the healer is available to you. He is. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the great physician. He can heal anything and has already healed everything. The Bible says he healed all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. There is, listen, his hand is not short that it cannot save you from that illness. His ear is not deaf that he will not heal your prayer, hear your prayer. He doesn't have a problem. He's able, he's willing, and he yearns to touch your life. Maybe you need him to guide you. Maybe you need a new job. Whatever it is you need, you reach out and take it right now. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for your people. I pray in Jesus' name, first of all, for healing power to flow into their bodies through believers' hands. I come against sickness, pain, disease, infirmity. Now, in Jesus' name, I command it to leave their bodies, leave their lives. Pain, go in Jesus' name. Tumors, cancer, melt away. Leave them in Jesus' name. Arthritis, I command you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, leave their bodies right now in Jesus' name. Stomach problems, be healed. Lung infirmities, be healed in the name of Jesus. Cardiovascular system and disease, be healed in the name of Jesus. Someone being healed in your right knee, you've had excruciating pain in your right knee. It's going to get warm in a second, but just believe it and receive it. Let Jesus heal your knee right now. In the name of Jesus, I release healing power toward you. Jesus, thank you for healing us. We believe, everybody say, I believe that I receive your healing virtue right now in my body. It's going to work. I'm being healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray for jobs, for people looking for jobs, guidance for those seeking wisdom and guidance. In the name of Jesus, I come against confusion that's over some of the minds. Loose them and let them go, spirit of confusion. Lord, I thank you that clarity of thought and focus comes back to them in Jesus' name. Blessing where there was cursing. Healing and health where there was sickness. Abundant supply where there was lack and want. Lord, you are our shepherd. We shall not lack for any good God thing. In Jesus' name. Everybody shout amen. Amen. Come on, do you believe it? Do you believe you receive? Wonderful.